Hey Grace Life, Pastor Matt here. Today we begin a few weeks study on the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is one of my favorite books in the entire Bible. And it's a story that you would think you would find in a best-selling fiction book, not the Bible. But it is indeed a true story, mainly for one reason. We know that Jesus refers to this story in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We'll look at that section of scripture in a few weeks, but I want us to understand right at the beginning of this study that this is a true story. Jonah being swallowed by a fish and all the events that take place are indeed true. And they have a lot to teach us today. Yes, the story is wonderful and kind of crazy and wild, but it's very applicable to us. Throughout the entire book, we see God at work. We see God's grace and compassion and mercy. In fact, the whole book really helps us understand that God is a God of compassion and mercy and grace, and will do anything in his power to bring wicked and lost sinners to himself and save them. And he uses men like Jonah, even disobedient men, to accomplish his will and his purposes in our lives. The book of Jonah has a great story. And like every major story, this narrative has a few characters. You have Jonah, which we'll look at in just a few moments. You have the people of Nineveh. Then you have a great fish or a well. We're not sure if it was a great fish or a well, and you could go back and forth, and I think it's okay. Whatever animal it was large enough to swallow a grown man. You have some crazy things happen in chapter 4 that just show God at work. You have all these different characters. In fact, if you say, what is this book? You will say it's Jonah and the well. But the main character of this story is not Jonah, nor is it the fish that swallows him. The main character of this story is God. God is at work. God is the one who initiates this story. God is the one who closes this story out. God is the one who is the main character here in this story. And as we see, we're not studying a book about a prophet named Jonah. We're not studying a book about a well that finishes or that swallows Jonah and brings Jonah to where he needs to be. We're studying a book about God that reveals God's character to us. And I'm looking forward to studying this book together with you. The book of Jonah is likely written by the prophet Jonah, and it's structured into two different sections. Section 1 is chapters 1 and 2, and section 2 is chapters 3 and 4. The two sections are very similar. They're parallels. In chapter 1 and 2, you see God calling out Jonah to go to Nineveh. In chapter 3, you see God doing the same thing. In chapter 2 and in chapter 4, you see God showing incredible acts of grace to Jonah using very different means. But he's showing Jonah that God is going to accomplish his purposes in the world. So as we read the book of Jonah today we'll look at chapters 1 and 2. You're going to see how similar the story is in chapter 3 and 4. And as we study the book out, I want us to see that God is gracious and merciful, slow to compassion, and desires to save people to himself. Another major theme throughout the book is God's sovereignty. Sovereignty can just be shortly defined as God's exercise of power over his creation. This act of sovereignty is seen when God controls the storm in chapter 1, where he stops it as soon as Jonah hits the water. We see God's sovereignty at play when he uses a fish to accomplish his purposes. We see God's sovereignty at play when the people of Nineveh repent of their sin. We see God's sovereignty at work when he orchestrates a worm and a plant in a scorching hot wind to accomplish his purpose. God oversees and is in control and governs all things. And you'll see God's sovereignty at work throughout the pages of this incredible story. So let's read chapters 1 and 2, and then we'll just focus on who Jonah is, who the Ninevites are. And as you study the scripture in your life groups, as you study this portion of scripture in your life groups, I want you to specifically look at the character of our powerful and mighty God. Let's read Jonah chapter 1 and 2 today. Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish for the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. So the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and they let the lot fall on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and from what people are you?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who has made the sea and the dry land." And then the people were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, that the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, 'I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple.' The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry lands. Chapters 1 and 2 is a crazy story. God calls Jonah. Jonah is a prophet. A prophet is someone who is proclaiming the words of the Lord to either God's people or to a specific group of people. This individual was someone who would speak the true words of God. Now, Jonah, the book that we're reading about him, does not paint him in the greatest picture. Immediately, he hears God's word and tells him, go to Nineveh and call out against this wicked city. And he disobeys. But Jonah is not a prophet who is known for disobedience. If this was his pattern, he would not be a prophet. But in 2 Kings 14, verse 25, we see that Jonah is a prophet who clearly understands his calling, clearly speaks what God tells for him to speak. So here in chapter 1, we're introduced to a side of Jonah that seems to be uncharacteristic. Jonah runs, and he runs really far. He gets on a boat in Joppa, and he's going all the way to Tarshish. Tarshish, at the time, is the furthest city west that one could possibly go. So he is running as far away as he could from the presence of God. God has sent him to go to Nineveh. He is going in the opposite direction. From the book of Jonah, we're told that Nineveh is a great and powerful city. It's a mighty city. It is the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and it's found in what is now northern Iraq. This city was very wicked, very violent. In fact, the history tells us that around the city, they would take the heads of their victims and place them on stakes and surround the city with the heads of these people to show their force and their might. But their wickedness, it's great wickedness, God had grown tired of. And God had told Jonah, you're going to go to the people of Nineveh and you're going to tell them that I'm going to destroy them. Their sin cannot be tolerated. I'm going to destroy them. But Jonah has other plans, and he gets onto a boat, and he starts headed west. While he's on the boat, we're introduced to some mariners who clearly see that Jonah is running away from God. And a storm brews, and as the storm brews, they are scared, they're frightful, so it's got to be a pretty crazy, crazy storm for these men who are familiar with the storm, with the sea, to be afraid. But Jonah is sleeping. Jonah is comfortable in his running away in disobedience to God. He is sleeping in the midst of this storm. After a while, Jonah tells them, if you throw me into the water, the storm will stop. This is happening because I'm running away from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah could have stopped and said, God, I'm sorry, I'll go to Nineveh. Forgive me, I repent, I'm going back. But Jonah doesn't do this. Instead, he decides to run even further away from God by jumping into the water because it's really hard to go to Nineveh if you've drowned. So Jonah jumps in. The people on the boat turn their eyes to God. They look to God as the one true God. Jonah is sinking into the water and is swallowed by a fish. Now, here's what I want you to look at in your life groups today. I want you to look at how God hates sin, and he must deal with sin righteously. What he is going to do to Nineveh is good. Sinners must face the punishment for their sin because they have sinned against a holy God. Jonah does not obey, though. Jonah sins. And even though Jonah is a child of God, a follower of God, he is not perfect. He disobeys God's command to go to Nineveh. But God does not desire to leave his children in their sin. And he will do whatever it takes to bring them back to himself. And God uses a storm. He uses a fish to bring Jonah back to himself. It's a reminder for us to check our own hearts, to make sure that we are not running away from God's commands. God commands us to love our neighbor. God commands us to be peaceable towards all people. God commands us to serve and to forsake our sin and to speak truth. And I could keep going. And every time we disobey God's words, we are running from him. Is there an area in your life where you are running from God? But we also see that God is a gracious God. The crazy story of the fish swallowing Jonah shows us that God is gracious. Jonah could have died, but God graciously saved him. And as we'll see over the course of this study, God has graciously saved us through Jesus Christ. He did not have to. He could have left us dead in our sins. But God graciously chose to save us. So as we look at the book of Jonah today, let's look at the wonderful grace and sovereignty of God that he has shown us today.